God has given all of us a mission to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. We want our church to be a launch pad for sending people out on the mission God has for them. Regardless of who you are, we all have a role to play. We are all involved in God's story. We pray that the story shared through Mission Control will encourage you to see how God is calling you to be used by Him. Welcome to another episode of Mission Control. My name is Amanda, and I'm the Communications Director here at First Baptist Melbourne and the host of this podcast. I'm thrilled that you're joining us today. Today in Missions Control, we have Michelle joining us. Michelle grew up at First Baptist Melbourne, and our journey has now taken her overseas to Nairobi, Kenya. During our conversation, Michelle shares her experiences of stepping out in faith as a young adult to her current role as a wife, mother, and educator. We'll hear about her initial call to missions, the challenges she faced while living abroad, the joys and struggles of homeschooling her four children, and the lessons she's learned along the way. Michelle's insights, wisdom, and personal anecdotes are sure to resonate with you, wherever you may be on your journey with God. Before we jump right in, just a quick reminder to subscribe to the podcast to stay updated with our latest episodes. And if you find this episode meaningful, don't hesitate to share it with your friends, family, and anyone else who could benefit from this story. Okay, let's get into it. I need like a fun space-themed question. Do you have a fun space fact?
Oh, well, my kids were talking about sonic booms the other day, so we got to talk about the sonic boom.
Have y'all been here with your kids since there's been a sonic boom?
Yes, but it's after their bedtime, so they heard it. My mom and I were sitting in the living room, and I was like, oh, wait, that's it. We heard it.
Kids! That's a bummer. But have y'all seen launches since you've been here?
We have. Not formally, but just, I mean, they shoot up things all the time now.
It's so often that now you hear it. And I know. Like, oh.
When I was a kid, it was just very, like, every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
And so then it was, like, this huge deal. And I remember in elementary school, we'd go out and watch it from the...
Well, because when you were a kid, it was, like, the shuttles and people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I'm old.
It felt a little... No, it's not. It feels more special and historic than now. They're just happening so often.
It's all the time.
And you're like, oh, more Starlink satellites. But the people ones still get, I feel like, a lot more build up.
Yeah. I mean, it's still exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty intense, all of that smoke and fire and whatever. But
yeah.
And we're happy for Starlink because our South Sudan team will get their internet hopefully very soon through Starlink.
That's exciting. It is exciting to hear stories of people who are like, and now we have internet in this place that we never had internet.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's happening here.
Yeah.
That's cool. So cool. So you grew up at First Baptist in Melbourne.
Yes.
Like all of your childhood?
We moved here when I was in third grade or just after I had finished third grade. I should say moved to this church. I lived in the same house.
So you were from the Melbourne area your whole life?
Yep.
Your whole adolescence?
My whole adolescence.
Right. And then you came to First Baptist Melbourne in third grade.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So
where are you currently serving on mission? I guess we'll start there. And then we'll work backwards.
All right. So we're based in Nairobi, Kenya. So that's the capital of Kenya, and it's in East Africa.
Okay. What are you doing in Nairobi, Kenya?
So my husband's an aircraft mechanic.
Okay.
So he works for AIM Air. So we're sent out by SIM, and then we are on loan to AIM Air over in Kenya.
Okay. Is AIM Air like a commercial business over in Kenya?
It's not a commercial business. No, AIM Air is Africa Inland Missions Aviation Branch. And so they fly church workers, missionaries, pastors all over East Africa.
Gotcha.
So they fly for people like Voice of the Martyrs too, things like that. Yeah.
How long have y'all been in Kenya?
So that's a hard question to answer because, you know, we go over and then we come back for a time or, you know.
Yeah.
So 16 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you've had, how many kids do you have now?
We have four.
Have all of them been born overseas then?
Well.
Like in your time overseas?
Well, three of them have. And then Josiah, our second, was born here in Florida.
Okay.
Same hospital as I was.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. So what is ministry life in Kenya like for you?
For me, it's a lot of supporting of our family, a lot of prayer that kind of thing. So I homeschool our two oldest boys. I get dinner on the table. Nice, I do all the homemaking kind of things.
Just in Kenya. Nice.
And then there's two different prayer groups that I participate in, praying over the different ministries we're involved in.
Gotcha. So before we started recording, you shared with me that you met your husband overseas in Kenya?
Yes, in Kenya.
So yeah. What were you doing in Kenya at that point? What brought you over to Kenya?
I was over there working in one of the slums outside of Nairobi.
Okay.
And I was teaching in a school there.
Okay. So. Was it this through SIM as well?
This was through AIM. So my...
There's so many acronyms.
So
is AIM where your husband currently... No. What's that acronym?
I first went out in 2006, short term, with a group called Adventures and Missions.
Okay.
They're based out of North Georgia.
Okay.
I did some short term trips with them. And then I ended up changing over to Africa Inland Mission because they are a long term organization.
Which is also AIM.
Are
you just as confused?
Not at this point. I've heard them enough.
Straight in your head.
But honestly, because I grew up in this church, in a Southern Baptist church, I had never heard of any of these organizations.
Yeah. So how did you get connected with these organizations?
One of my friends who also grew up in this church, she went to school up in North Georgia. And I had told her about going on an overseas mission trip after I finished university. And she said, well, there's
As in like your desire to do that? Or that you
my
had
My desire
done it.
To do that to fulfill a promise. It wasn't really on my bucket list. This was just...
Gotcha.
I kind of felt like it was something I needed to do.
Okay.
And so she sent me information on Adventures and Missions. That's out of North Georgia.
Okay.
And I got connected with them. And I liked that their program was more than just like a 1 or 2 week long thing. So I went with them for 4 months.
Wow. Okay. So that was like my first short term, midterm. Would we call that a midterm?
I don't know. I still think of it as short term. But it's not your 1 to 2 week, let's go and, you know,
it's
do
not
something
a vacation
partnered with
time
them. Yeah, no.
Frame.
Right. That's so I did vacation. 4 months. With them.
Okay.
And
were you doing teaching then too?
A little bit. We partnered with some local churches in the same slum that I did eventually teach in and with a school there, but I wasn't teaching full time.
Okay.
So I was kind of in and out doing some tutoring. We did a lot of door to door, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And then when I came back to the US, I went back for my master's in reading education because I had seen that inner city. There has similar struggles to inner city here.
Mm-hmm.
Reading is a difficult, just difficult thing, I guess. I don't know. But they were behind.
You do know.
Levels.
You have a master's in it.
Well, yeah. So anyway, so I did that. And then I went back with them for another year.
Okay.
So I kind of fell into missions.
Gotcha.
Like it wasn't on purpose.
But you said you had this desire. So was this desire to go on a mission trip, where did, other than obviously God planted that desire.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit. Yeah. But was this something that just you had seen other people go on missions? Where were you influenced?
Well, I mean, this church, I went on lots of short-term missions. I did World Changers.
Okay.
A lot during my high school years. And then when I went off to university, I got involved with a Loma Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sunday school teachers for the college group that was just kind of starting when I started going there. With Pastor Aaron, actually.
I was going to say, were you there at the same time?
We went together. So the college teachers then encouraged us and, like, drug me along sometimes to do door-to-door ministry in the city. And then they started arranging overseas mission trips during the summer months to places like Ukraine and Brazil, I think, were the two big ones. And my brother and lots of other friends all went, and I never did because I was always working.
Gotcha.
And so my friend Shanika was like, Michelle, you got to do one overseas missions trip before you settle down, have a family, whatever.
Okay.
And
little did you know.
Little did I know.
You'd be settling
it's
down
true.
And having a family in
I
Kenya.
Just kind of thought I would do one. Lord, here's my 4 months. I graduated in December.
I did it.
It wasn't a good time to hire teachers. So I said, okay, I have to start looking for a job come summer.
Mm-hmm.
You have 4 months, January through, you know, April. And what are you going to do with it? And so then there I was for 4 months.
Okay.
And it was good. It was hard. It's the first time I've been overseas. First time away from
That's
my
a
family.
Long time to be like, yeah. Okay, I'm doing it, and I'm doing it for 4 months.
Yeah. I think that's kind of my personality, though. You commit to something and you just
dive
commit.
In.
Yeah. So
it's good.
But I came back not thinking I would ever go back.
Okay.
And then the school contacted me that I had done tutoring with and said, hey, would you come back and work with us? So I went back for a year.
Okay.
Still thinking.
Was that after you finished your master's or while
yeah,
you're? Okay.
After I finished my master's.
Okay.
So it was still kind of like, this is just a small
season
in my life. I'm going to come back here, find, you know, a husband, get married, have children, settle down, teach.
And God said,
here.
I have a husband for you in Kenya.
Right, yeah.
But an American husband.
God didn't also just say that. It was all the single, older, not single, but all the older missionaries all said that. Michelle, have you met Caleb?
Oh, really? So this was like, okay, but Caleb is American, right?
Yes, he is,
but.
He is American, but he grew up in West Africa.
Interesting. Okay, so is he a missionary kid?
He is a missionary kid.
Oh, okay.
He's third generation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So his grandparents met in language school in France.
Okay.
And so then they got married. His grandfather is Swiss.
Okay.
And then his parents met in Nigeria and got married and had him before they came back to the U.S.
Okay.
So we met, but I decided we had to get married here.
Was that just because all of your family and stuff is here, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
That makes
all
sense
my,
to me.
Yeah. And trying to get people out to Kenya. And it
your
was important to me
there.
That people were involved.
Especially since it feels very, it could feel very removed.
Yeah.
You have like the American part of your, I'm putting words in your mouth. Like the American part
okay.
of your life and then the like Kenya part of your life. It would be,
it does feel strange. Like you just kind of have these two worlds and your heart is constantly pulled between both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to be wherever I'm at, that's kind of where my feet are. And so I don't generally talk to my Kenyan friends as much when I'm here in the U.S. and vice versa. You know, that's just
yeah.
the way your life has to be. And
yeah.
So it does feel a little bit. And events happen here and they don't really in the U.S. And if we're in Kenya, it doesn't like solidify in your mind until you've been here and you've been around the people and the events
you
that have
see
happened.
It.
You
it see feels it. More real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I get that. So how often do y'all come back stateside?
We try to come back every 2.5 years.
Okay.
But sometimes depending on work schedules for Caleb, he's a mechanic with Amir. And so there's not always enough mechanics or other people are on home assignment or
mm-hmm.
whatever. And so we have stayed up to 3.5 years before
okay.
coming back. So that nice. Felt long. And then 2.5 feels a little short. So, you know, it's just.
Yeah. 3. That feels good.
Somewhere in between there. Yeah.
Nice. So how long have y'all been married now?
We've been married 11 years.
Okay.
It's like doing the mental math. Did I get that?
I know. I have to sometimes I have to count on my fingers for my own marriage, so no judgment from me. So as you look back, where do you see obvious places of God's direction towards this for you?
Towards missions?
Mm-hmm.
Towards
where you are now.
Yeah. I mean, just he's planted missions all along the way from people my parents have supported through the years. Or through the short-term mission trips that I've been on or haven't been on but knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And then going, of course, for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, you do – I mean, I did fall in love with the people there and the kids that I was working with. It's really hard to be that far away from family, and that has been a
especially
hard
with
thing.
Your own kids.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, because they grow so fast.
They do.
And so, yeah. So, but all of that kind of led towards long term. And I can see how if the Lord had just been like, this is what you're going to do, I would have been like, Jonah, what? No, I don't want to
like,
do that.
Then I won't go on the first trip. Thank you. Yeah.
So it was just, you know, kind of baby steps as far as 4 months, then a year. Then I committed to 2 years. And during that time, I met Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it was just, I mean, marrying Caleb is kind of a package deal. It's like
and you also get missions in Kenya.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
So.
What kind of roadblocks have you faced in ministry, I would say even just recently?
Well, I think there's this expectation. expectation, whether it's my own expectation or a felt one from other people. You know, Caleb's is the primary ministry. And it's like, well, what are you, what do you do? Well, I stay at home.
That's a ministry.
It is. And I know people say that over and over. But honestly, as a stay-at-home mom, you can do that.
Yeah.
Wherever.
Yeah.
And so it, we have come to realize, Caleb and I, we are very much, this is a package deal. Like, if he is the one who's primary right now, and I've had another missionary say this, her husband was a pilot, she's a doctor.
Oh.
And she stayed at home for a while, and she's just said, like, it's my husband's turn right now.
Okay.
And this is where I'm supposed to be. And I just kind of held on to that, like,
at
we're
what point,
all working together.
Yeah. So I guess that's an interesting question. At what point did you stop teaching and working overseas?
Well, I stopped teaching in the school I was at when Caleb and I came back to get married, because then we moved to South Sudan.
Oh, okay.
And we were supposed to be job sharing there. So we were both doing full-time language learning Arabic.
Okay.
And then we were going to move to a base where he was going to be the maintenance manager and I was going to do teacher training part-time.
Okay.
And then civil war broke out in South Sudan and I was pregnant with our firstborn.
What year was that?
That was 20, oh, good gracious, 20, that would have been 2013, the end of 2013.
Okay, okay, okay.
And so, and then our firstborn was Daniel. He was born in 2014.
Okay.
And so I was 8.5 months pregnant. And
with
we
Civil War.
Ended up being the last flight out, and we didn't even know the Civil War had started until we got to Nairobi, Kenya. I was already flying out because I was towards the end of my pregnancy and I couldn't fly anymore.
Gotcha.
And so we were coming to Kenya to have
Daniel. Okay. And did you just stay in Kenya after?
We did, because the Civil War went on. Our base was destroyed. Our home was destroyed. Everything was taken. It was very difficult. And it took us a long time. I mean, there would be years after that and I would be like, wait, where was that thing? Oh, that was in South Sudan. It got lost, you know. And I think even for Caleb, it took him a while to realize, you know, he had always wanted to live in South Sudan. He took his vacations. When we were dating, he would take his vacations from Nairobi, Kenya, and go to South Sudan and live in a tent and just fix stuff for all the missionaries up there.
Aww.
So he loved it. And that was kind of always a dream of his. He didn't realize he would ever do that.
Yeah.
But we were there, and it was just a loss of a dream for both of us.
Yeah.
So I got back to Kenya. I lost my house. I lost my job.
Now you have an infant.
Now I have an infant, and I'm living in somebody else's house. And so it was a very tough transition.
So how long was that transition, and at what point did – because you're still in –
We are, yeah.
So at what point did you realize that this is a semi-permanent where we're planted now?
Well, Caleb had worked for AIM Air as an aircraft mechanic before we got married.
Okay.
And so we had already arranged, he's a doer, we had already arranged for our stint in Kenya while I had the baby and got vaccinations and all that kind of stuff until Daniel was ready to travel, he would go back to work at AIM Air.
Gotcha.
And so he kind of slotted back in and was doing great. And I was over here like, what happened to my life? You know?
Yes.
And so I came back to the U.S. when Daniel was around 8 months for 3 weeks without Caleb.
Okay.
And when I got back, Caleb said at one point, he's like, I was really glad you had return tickets because I wasn't sure
you would want to come back. Yeah.
And it was hard. It was very hard. But we looked at every single position SIM had around the world, because SIM is a global mission agency.
Okay.
And felt nothing for any of them except for Kenya. And we thought, I don't know why you had us in South Sudan for less than a year learning Arabic. except that we can relate to other teammates that we have now who live in South Sudan.
Gotcha.
And so that's been helpful to say, oh, yeah, this is hard. This is a hard life to do that. But we felt like the Lord had led us back to AIM Air, and we don't, I mean.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't ask questions.
You don't know all the details, right?
Yeah.
So he went back to work at AIM Air, and then I didn't work outside the home from then on. But I did a lot of women's ministry, Bible studies, that kind of thing while Daniel was little. And then when we started adding
more kids,
it became more difficult to do things outside the home.
Yes.
And then when we started homeschooling, it was like, no, you just got to
raise. Well, you're teaching again.
Yeah.
You're just teaching your own kids. It's a full-time
job. It is. It's a full-time job. So
full-time job plus.
Yes.
Other duties as assigned.
Right.
So. Nice. Do you have a desire to work with, I'm still getting all the acronyms straight in my head, do you have a desire to teach outside of the home again, do you think?
I do have my teaching license current, and I'm keeping it current. American schools, there's two of them in Nairobi, are very expensive, and so potentially we could alleviate that cost if I taught there. I don't know. I'm kind of in the midst of the homeschool years and whatever.
Yes.
And so I'm not sure what the Lord will have for me past that. I'm just, settling into what he's got for me right now.
That's a great place to be. So. What advice would you give to someone who's trying to discern their calling for their life?
Just take one step. You gotta take one step.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the Lord had me do, like, go on this one mission trip, and I'll just show you a little bit at a time, partly so I don't freak out, and partly just because you got to get going.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a Bible degree or anything like that, so it's not like I went to a school specifically for missions knowing this is what I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I started out wanting to be a large animal veterinarian on a farm somewhere.
I mean, haven't we all as kids?
So anyway, I went to school for biology even.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then changed it over.
I didn't know that. So your undergrad was biology?
No, I changed it over because, organic chemistry is just really hard.
Yeah.
So
I never had to take it, but I could imagine. Turns out you don't need organic chemistry for communication. It's crazy.
No, and you don't need it to teach your children either. Someone else can do that later on in life.
Very good, very good. How has God shocked you as your journey has progressed?
Well, I never thought I'd be homeschooling, to be honest. And even though we had talked about wanting a large family, I sometimes look at my four kids and think, whoa, we did that four times. Like,
we have four of them.
How do we have four of them?
What are their ages?
9, 7, 4, and 2.
Okay. I also have a 2-year-old, so I can relate on that one.
Yes. Yeah, it's a lot. It's exhausting. Yeah, I think the Lord, just the way he's worked in our lives, he has led us step by step, and not necessarily where I thought we would go. You know, even our stint into South Sudan, the director had asked us the day before we left to come back here and get married. Like, that was pretty shocking, and I never thought we would be doing it. But the Lord has made it very clear through wisdom of other people and just still small voice. I don't get verbal
audible
words from the Lord.
I have not either.
No. I mean, I might be terrified if that happened.
Right.
But he's just made it very clear through open and closed doors. I'm trying to think. Shock, I don't know, is, you know, in the moment, I'm not sure I would say that I was shocked, because it's just lots of little things that led up to the big changes. Mm-hmm. But when you look back and you're like,
it's shocking from point one to point 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're, whoa, I never thought I'd be doing that.
Yeah.
Or this.
Yeah.
But if you're just putting one step in front of the other,
it's a little less scary. Yeah. It's still, there are some steps that are more terrifying than others.
Yes, there are. But it's not like the blinding light that Paul got from the heavens, you know? So.
Yeah, that makes sense. How has your family reacted or supported or viewed this whole journey for you?
They've been very supportive. But it's hard, right, for your mom to see your daughter go overseas so far away.
And then have all of her grandbabies overseas.
Yeah, have all the grandbabies overseas. So And then Caleb's parents, they're used to that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah. So, but they're stateside now?
They're stateside now.
Okay.
But once you have grandchildren, you know, you as adults don't change that much. Not too much anyway. You're just like, you look the same for, you know, maybe 10 to 15 years at a time.
Yes, yes.
You know. But I think that part has been hard, the separation. But otherwise, I mean, my grandmother said to me early on, the safest place for you is in God's will. Mm-hmm. And my dad has lived all over the world, so he's had that kind of experience. And yeah, so.
Well, that's good.
Very supportive.
That's good. That's good.
We're thankful.
I feel like this is a huge step back, but we're going to go to the huge step back. So you grew up in the church. How did you come to faith in Christ?
I vaguely remember, this is interesting, I've been asked this several times recently. I vaguely remember kneeling beside my bed with my dad and praying to receive Christ. Uh-huh. And my dad baptized me, but I don't really remember it. And so then I had a crisis of faith in 10th grade. I was at a leadership camp. Pastor Doug was my youth pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And was it Student Life maybe? And I remember Kim Malden was there. And we spent a lot of time in prayer. I wasn't doing a whole lot of leading at that camp. I was doing a lot of soul searching. And I just came to realize I don't necessarily need to remember the exact prayer I prayed or even the exact date.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great for some people who do, and that's part of their testimony. But I think part of my testimony is that the Lord drew me at that time, but it's been building ever since. And I mean, that's the way all of us are, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't have this moment to hang on to,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes I wonder if that's God's grace in my life. Like, you have, my mom said one of her favorite verses, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. And I do, and I have from mm-hmm. a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of my testimony, is like, I don't have to have this one moment, because I've seen the moments over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the moments over the years can oftentimes be more powerful than just one single moment to hold on to as well.
And I'm a checklist person. So potentially if I had that moment, it would be like, oh, I ticked that box. You know,
I'm good.
Right.
Move
and
on.
I know I'm good. Like, I know where I'm going. Yeah. I know I'm going to heaven and to be with Jesus when I die. But
That's an interesting perspective. I don't know that I've heard someone say it that way, but it's neat to think about it that way too, in terms of the walking through it. And
Yeah. So I think, you know, that age when I was real young with my dad, that's when I first started to believe as much as I could believe at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord's just solidified my faith as I grew.
It's awesome. Who has influenced you in your journey, and how? And why?
Well, there's so many people mm-hmm. over the years, right? So of course, my parents and their faith and how they have supported missionaries. They have two Russian missionaries that they've supported over the years for a long time. And they've been in our home. And then...
So they've like stayed in your home. That's...
Yeah, I've met them.
Nice.
Yeah. And so there's that. And then my grandmother, of course, just in her steadfast faith. And then people in this church just pouring into you.
Mm-hmm.
But then going to Aloma and the Deckers, there are a couple that are still there, and they are mapping out Orlando and going door to door and are still very much on mission in their community.
Their little community, yeah.
Anyway, it was a lot of their pushing and just reinforcing how important it is to be sharing the gospel all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as a stay-at-home mom, most of the gospel sharing I do is with my children right now, you know. But it was their first steps of saying, hey, you need to come on Tuesday nights and go door-to-door with us. And, hey, these mission trips are important. And I know that you can't do them right now because of work, but one day mm-hmm. God will ask you to go and you need to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like all of that, just the continual presence in my life and pouring into me in those college years, I think.
What would you say to someone who feels like maybe they would like to, or they have the desire or stirring to go on a mission trip, what advice? Where do you start?
Do it. I mean, this church does some short-term mission trips. I think I love that this church partners with local missionaries and does that together with them, because if you go on your own, you don't know necessarily what you're stepping into. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really good partnership. So I think that's a good way to get started, especially if you're in this church. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you can, go for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, because that will really show you what, first of all, what your relationship with the Lord is like. Because depending on who you go, I went with complete strangers. And so it was like, well, this is it. Like, you get to know these people really well, and you get to know who you are. And I remember my great aunt died while I was over there, and that was really hard because there was nobody there that knew her.
Yeah.
And that was a moment of the Lord saying, here's this person that I'm going to send you. Like, I can provide this for you. You might be away from family, but I can provide that. And so I think those longer ones, if you're serious about pursuing missions, really help you know what your relationship with the Lord is made of. Mm-hmm. And then also he will point you to what you need to be doing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So final question. What advice or encouragement would you have for someone who's feeling the call to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God?
Didn't I already answer that?
Like, probably. I feel like a lot of these questions, when I ask them, I'm like, we definitely already covered this, but maybe something else will come up.
Again, I just think taking that first step.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's talking to a pastor about it,
mm-hmm.
or talking to someone else who's been on a mission trip to see what that might entail.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things. Because you can think about it for a really long time. And
never move past that.
And never move past thinking about it. And mm-hmm. so once you tell someone else, that's like, oh, somebody else knows that God has been
telling
you this. They're
going to ask me about this.
Yes, they're going to ask me about it. And people, you know, I think most people who are in the church are very encouraging of, let me pray for you about this. Let mm-hmm. me help you along. Let me point you in a right direction, or get you connected with somebody else who can mm-hmm. really help you understand what the Lord's asking.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming today.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mission Control. If you're interested in learning more about Launch 10X and the different ways to get involved in what God is doing here at First Baptist Melbourne, a great place to start would be visiting our website, launchme.church. Join us next time for a conversation with Cody Chester. Cody not only holds the distinction of being First Baptist Melbourne's first church planting resident, he also serves as the lead pastor for the first church plant of our Launch 10X goal. Cody provides valuable insights into the challenges and joys of bivocational ministry, his passion for building a vibrant community, and his dedication to fostering connections in a world that often feels disconnected. Until then, I hope you have a great week on mission with King Jesus.